Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Yesterday, Jeffrey Simmons went crazy. Today, Jeffrey Simmons apologized for it. Again, I thought half sincerely. Kind of felt like, yeah, all right, I've got to say I'm sorry, so I'm sorry, but I don't want to talk about it anymore. Don't ask any questions. I asked about four questions. And it was like, all right, no more questions. Okay. Guess that's kind of being accountable. But again, the issue here with me and Simmons, it's not about him going at Buck and everything. I mean, that was just uncalled for and quite frankly unprofessional. But that's his business, not mine. What the overarching issue for me was is that this guy was supposed to be the leader of the team. Rand Carthon last week anointed him as the leader of the team. He got up in front of the media last week and talked about what he's been doing to be the leader of the team. And then he went out there and he did that. And so I started thinking about that proclamation Rand made last week about Simmons and how the way that he used to lead the D-line group, but now he leads the whole team, and the way he handles his business, and they want everybody to see that, and they want him to handle the business the same way. And I'm like, yeah, no. And then I think about the fact that Rand Carthon and the Titans leadership at some level, they never seem to really value the leadership that they had. And I'm really talking about Byard and Henry. To the best of my knowledge, I don't think there was really any friction between Rand and Ryan Tannehill. But at the same time, like Rand Carthon, when they drafted Will Levis or before the draft, he said, you know, Ryan and I have had a talk, and that stays between Ryan and I. And then Tannehill was asked about it after the draft, and he's like, yeah, I mean, we had a talk, but there's a lot of different ways you can interpret that. And I interpreted what Tannehill was saying as, yeah, I mean, we talked about it, but whatever. It did feel very much like outside of Simmons. It was kind of like, yeah, Henry, Tannehill, Byard, those are yesterday's guys, and I'm worried about the future. And I get it. I understand Rand wasn't brought in to be the general manager to sit there and try to roll it out with a 35-year-old quarterback. Got it. But I do value the leadership that Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, and Kevin Byard brought to this football team. And I don't think there's any doubt, as disappointed as I was in Ryan Tannehill, after he threw the three interceptions against the Bengals and then went MIA for months and didn't show up for the start of voluntary workouts and things like that, it is not an accident that this team at 2-4 turned to Tannehill and immediately flipped a switch. There is something that is not tangible about that Ryan Tannehill brought to that football team. He had it. We know Derrick Henry was a great leader. Derrick Henry was everything that they said and Eddie George was. And Kevin Byard was a great leader too. The guy the Titans turned to every time there was a moment of crisis was Byard. Something bad went wrong? Byard, get out there and talk about it. John Robinson got fired? Byard, get out there and talk about it. Mariota got benched? Byard, get out there and talk about it. And I'm not sure that the current leadership really, and I'm talking about the organizational leadership, valued that much. Because I look at this football team, and I don't really know who the leaders on the football team are. And I wonder if that's the mistake of a young GM and of a young coach. Somebody texted in last hour, and I didn't read this text simply because I didn't want to blow this segment that I was really been passionate about. And they texted in and said, you ever think how Barry Trotz gets leaders on the team, but the previous Titans GM/Ran, they're just getting athletes? What's your take on the Predators versus Titans leadership? And I was sitting there thinking to myself today, Rand Carthon has been a general manager now for a year and 2 weeks. Brian Callahan has been a head coach for 2 weeks. Barry Trotz has been in the hierarchy of an organization for 25 5 years. There's a difference between the two. One has significantly more experience than the other. And Barry Trotz makes no mistake. Like, there is no question what he's looking for. That's why he loves Steven Stamkos and Ryan O'Reilly and Jonathan Marchessault and Ryan McDonagh and Brady Shea. Like, he loves those guys because he thinks it matters. And so I wonder, and again, I'm not sitting here like yelling and screaming about Rand or Brian Callahan saying that they're, that how could they possibly not think about it? But today's era, everybody wants to be Mr. Analytical, and they want to be able to pull out spreadsheets and leadership and that value of how important a team can rely on a guy. I don't think they factor that in on their Excel documents when they're trying to decide, you know, who gives us the most EPA above expected average at .com, whatever. And all I can think about is what Floyd did the second that the Steve McNair, Eddie George era ended. You know, I remember, this is crazy, because I'm sure I'm like everybody else. I have a vivid memory of my freshman year of high school at university school. And the Titans had just had the last 5 years, have been to the playoffs four times. They were Super Bowl contenders. They had, Steve McNair was league MVP. And they started off the 2004 season, and they released Eddie George. And they were terrible that 2004 season. It led to them picking Pac-Man, I think with the fifth or sixth pick or something like that. And I remember my math teacher at the time, Miss Pope, and she said to me, she goes, what's the problem with the team? Is it that Eddie George isn't there anymore? And at that point, Eddie certainly wasn't a star player. I mean, Eddie was very diminished at that point in his career from the peak Eddie George. And a gazillion carries will do that to you. But the day that that window shut was the day Eddie George left the Titans. Regardless of the fact that at that point in time, Chris Brown was probably a better pure running back than Eddie George, given Eddie's age and wear and tear. But they never won without Eddie. And then the next year, Steve McNair was gone. And I know how much the guy who was picking the players then valued leadership. That's why it's not an accident that the next year in free agency, after they lost McNair, although they thought McNair was going to be on that team, but it ended up not working out because of contract reasons. But they went out and signed Hall of Famer Kevin Mawai. They signed Super Bowl quarterback Kerry Collins. They signed David Thornton and Nick Harper from perpetual contenders Indianapolis, and they signed David Givens, and I know he played five games because he got hurt, but David Givens, I believe, was a two- or three-time Super Bowl champion with the Patriots. Winner, 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 winner. They went out and got guys that have won. And so I wonder if the Titans went into this offseason, and as much as they looked at these different players and they collaborated on what they wanted, and yeah, L'Jarius Sneed won the Super Bowl. And Lloyd Cushenberry, you know, seems to, you know, bring something to the table. But did they look at Derrick Henry's leadership? Did they look at Ryan Tannehill's leadership, Kevin Byard's leadership, and think, oh, we'll be fine? Because again, when you're talking about what you're looking for in these players, you're looking at what the spreadsheet says. Well, his wingspan is this. His RAS is that. His .com is this. His .org is that. But is leadership ever included in that? I don't know the answer. And I'm wondering if that was something that the Titans maybe overlooked this offseason with a young coach, with a young GM. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. A lot of you want to weigh in. We'll get to your phones. Plus, I was a little disappointed today at what somebody else had to say about the events of yesterday. We'll do that next. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 The Game. That's our Phone number 615-737-1025. Nashville's best deal of the week is admission to the Frist Art Museum. Enjoy ever-changing exhibitions from world-renowned collections. Get creative in Martin Art Quests, the first hands-on art-making space, and find unique handcrafted items in their gift shop. Current exhibitions include fashion, photography, graphic art, ceramics, VR, and more. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals now to get two tickets to the Frist Art Museum for the price of one while supplies last. That is a $15 savings. That's the Frist Art Museum.
Jeff was in the middle of some fights yesterday and then had a confrontation with a radio guy. Yeah, just wondering where you think his mindset is and if something's going on with him.
Look, we don't condone fighting out here. We want to practice the right way. We talk about live on the edge, play on the edge, don't hurt the team. But we have a thing around here, especially on defense. All right, when you mess up something, okay, you address the problem, you make it right, and you move on. And that's what we're going to do. In terms of the off-the-field stuff, I have nothing to do with that, and I'm not going to comment on that.
That was Denard Wilson, the defensive coordinator today. So when it comes to the fighting, hey, we want to play on an edge. We don't want to push the envelope too far. We got to be controlled. We worry about that. We try to make things right. As far as the antics that everybody across the country is talking about, I have no comment. I was a little disappointed in Denard Wilson today. And I was a little disappointed in Brian Callahan, too. I'm going to start on the Denard Wilson front. Because I think Denard Wilson is head coach material. I mean, this guy, you listen to these players talk about him and about, you know, the way he holds them accountable. I was watching him today coach up the DBs. And I don't care if you are the worst player on the team. There was some guy, Robert Javier. I've never heard of this guy. Maybe he makes the team. Maybe he goes to the Hall of Fame. I don't know. We've never heard of this guy. And he was coaching him up. And then Tay Gowan had a rep, and he was coaching him up. And then the next guy had a rep, and he was Jarvis Brownlee's coaching him up. And, I mean, I find Denard Wilson to be very impressive. And to me, if he knows. You know, this is like Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur came in as offensive coordinator knowing, I got to be offensive coordinator and call the plays for a year and then go be a head coach. Denard Wilson knows. I need to come in here, install this defense. We need to play well on defense, and I'm going to go be a head coach. If the Titans' defense is good this year, he's going to be a head coach next year. Well, this is an opportunity to speak for the organization. The head coach decided not to talk today, which I don't like, but the head coach decided not to talk, so you're up there. You're the one who now has the opportunity to answer for Simmons. And he didn't take the opportunity to show that he could manage this as if he were a head coach. And then when it comes to Brian Callahan, I was disappointed that he didn't address it before the coordinator spoke this morning. That he didn't get up there and say, all right, I know what happened yesterday. That it's unacceptable. We've talked to Jeffrey about it. And as an organization, blah, 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 and our fans, blah, blah, blah. I didn't like that. Because you're the head coach. You set the tone every day. Bill Polian, Hall of Fame executive, he said, and this really stuck out to me, but he said to me one time, he said that the head coach is more important than the general manager because the head coach is the one who, as he said, touches the players every day. Sets the tempo and the tone for the organization. Well, yesterday was kind of a crisis moment. And that's where leadership steps in. And so what's going to happen, Brian Callahan's not talking for the rest of the week. So Brian Callahan's not going to speak on this until, what, Saturday? And he will be asked about it because he's the head coach. And it's like, you're the head coach. Don't you want to control the narrative about where you stand so that everybody knows? And I guess they didn't. I mean, part of me thought that until Simmons spoke today, I thought the Titans were just going to pretend like yesterday didn't happen. It's like, oh, no. Oh, no, no, it's fine. It's fine. So Brian Callahan says, hey, you know, I get along with the players. I don't, you know, rip their asses too much. But if I need to, I will. If I need to hold somebody accountable, I will. But it was disappointing to me today to see that he didn't address it. Again, we're talking about accountability. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mike says, what free agent in this year's class do you think exhibits the master leadership qualities that you were talking about? Well, Ian, I've got one off the top of my head of a leadership quality player that they, I think, needed and value the leadership and could have helped this team.
Who's that?
Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
I was in favor of bringing Derrick Henry back. Well, Jared, he's not the same anymore. I know. But he's the face of the organization, and I think the young quarterback could have used it. They felt differently. They went with Tony Pollard. And I'm not going to say Tony Pollard's not a leader, but I don't... There's a difference in terms of clout between Derrick Henry and Tony Pollard. Dre is up next on our program. Thank you for waiting. What's up, Dre?
Man, it's like every day when I tune into you guys, man, it's just like a whole bunch of girly men crying. Dude, what are y'all talking about Simmons again, leadership, and the come on, man. Look, it's training camp, man. Have your entire audience, because I don't hear any pushback, your entire audience, I'm just asking the question to you and all of them. And pushing this offensive line, which has been forever and a day, pushing those guys.
Ian, is it us? Like, this is... Put Dre on hold for a second. Because this is the second... Like, I feel like this is the second time in the last hour that somebody's phone's been all... Is that us?
I don't think so. I have a theory that, you know, the cell towers, the cell phone companies are skimping on our phone calls because nobody calls anymore and everyone just texts. So they're just, like, you know, taking away resources from their phone calls.
That's kind of a hot take.
That's a conspiracy theory hot take. But yeah,
that is really some bull crap. All right, let's give Dre another try here. Dre, let's see if your phone works. It might be our fault. I don't know. Let's go. Dre, I'm going to guess it's our fault. I don't know. But, I mean, in the first 20 seconds of what he said, you know, it sounded clear. And then all of a sudden it was just like, you're making a really passionate point, and I can't hear a damn word you're saying. I mean, when Chris Sanders on, his phone works fine. The other callers, their phones work fine, except for the one last hour and this one. I don't know. I think I heard from that him basically being like, Simmons is making these guys better by pushing them to be better. So I'm just going to assume that's what he's talking about.
Yeah, something about, you know, toughening up the O-line and setting the tone for training camp.
What's that got to do with Buck? Like, what's that got to do with what happened with Buck yesterday? Again, the part that I couldn't get over, I mean, I was laughing last night. I showed my dad the video. He laughed and we laughed. My favorite part was when Simmons said to Buck, don't talk on social media, talk to me. Buck said, I'm talking to you right now. He said, I don't want to talk to you. So in the span of 12, you know, 1 second, he went from talk to me to I don't want to talk about you. I think it was Barstool Sports wrote, it had some big hold me back energy. And I agree. One texter says, thought Simmons was overrated for a couple seasons, but did appreciate his attitude and toughness he portrayed. But even that has gone away the way he's handled himself this offseason. I think it's a fair point. Did Dre say that I was a Taylor Lewan guy?
I don't know. Dre's back, though, if you want to try again.
Dre, let's try your phone again. What was the crux of your point? You've got 20 seconds.
Man, my point was simply, man, did it ever occur to you, whatever choice word, that Man, that was prop. That's how he's leading. He's choosing to lead by pushing the offensive line.
But what's that have to do with Buck?
Showing them what they're going to go through all year long. And those guys stood up and fought back and forth. Man, that happens in every
But what does that have to do with him getting into it with Buck?
Huh?
What does it have to do with the viral video of him acting like a fool?
Have you seen Buck, man? Everybody wants to get. He's the new Paul Kaharsky, dude. Well, actually,
is he?
Yeah, he's you.
Is he?
You and Buck. I would thump you and Buck myself.
Dre, thank you for your call. I mean, like, is he Paul? Like, I watched Paul get in a fight today about nothing. Like, nothing. I watched it. I thought to myself, PK, why do you have to be such an ass? Like, I watched it. And apparently, there was one of those situations with Paul that happened before I even got there today. I would say that there's a far stretch between Buck and Paul. One person who knows all about that, Jason Fitz, will join us next. Snowman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Well, before y'all get started, we all know what happened yesterday. A lot of y'all have been here since I've been here, so y'all know me. That's not who I am. That's not who I want to be seen as. I talked to Buck. We have an understanding. I have an understanding where we're coming from. I have an understanding where he's coming from. He have a job. I have a job. At the end of the day, I take full accountability of my actions on the field. I mean, that'll never happen again with me. Like I said, I always talk about that switch, when to turn it on, when to turn it off. I was kind of still had it on coming off the field, of course, with the way practice went. But that, like I said, that's not me. It'll never happen again. And to all you guys, like I said, I apologize. And not because it's hit social media, but it's because who I am. That's not my character. And I think from here on out, like I said, from that point, like I said, I spoke on about it. I'm ready to move forward. Any football questions, I'm here to answer.
You know, I think that's like the third time I've heard that. And as I heard that right there, you know, what kind of stood out in my head was when he was like, you know, I'm not just saying this because it went viral on social media. Really? Like, really? I'm not sure I totally believe that. So apparently when I asked about the Taylor Lewan guy thing, apparently the text line has told me that that is in reference to the video, that at the end of the video, and I must have watched that video last night like 100 times because I thought it was funny. But at the end of the video, somebody says that Simmons calls Buck a Taylor Lewan guy. So I have no dog in this fight. Zero. I like Buck fine, but I'm not picking a horse here. Buck is 100% a Taylor Lewan Bobo. Like, if Taylor Lewan were to tell Buck something, he would believe it like the gospel to the high heavens. And that has nothing to do with like any criticism or any whatever. I'm just telling you, I've felt that way for a long time. Buck wants to be the third boy on the bus of Bussin' with the Boys. So I didn't know that. I did not know that Simmons said that he was that is amazing. Like, wow. That I had not heard of. And I think that that's pretty good. Like, I'm like, okay, that one? Hey, point Simmons. Texture says there's a thin line between being tough with an attitude and being soft, and Simmons is turning to soft because he's starting to complain about everything. See, that's the thing that really, and I said this earlier today, I was very disappointed we had Chris Sanders on. I was very disappointed in Chris from this standpoint. Apparently, what Simmons says pissed him off about the media is the Jamal Adams stuff. The Titans signed Jamal Adams for the veteran minimum. We all looked at it like, why? It's not 2018. He's signing Jamal Adams. Guy's never healthy. What? Why? And Simmons apparently got mad about that. And Chris Sanders compared it to his wife, which I thought was just absolutely wild. You know, the whole, like, if somebody said something about my wife, I'm like, nobody's saying anything about his wife. And Chris's argument was that, hey, the guys in the locker room, they're like brothers. And because they're like brothers, they felt like whatever. And I just, I don't equate that. But even if he is upset about the whole Jamal Adams thing, dude, you got to block that out. Like, this is Nashville, Tennessee. I was stunned yesterday when Brian Callahan made the comment about how everything negative gets magnified around here. I'm like, dude, this is Nashville. Go try Boston. I mean, I guess we could be like Dallas. I could be like Dallas and I could say that, I don't know if you guys saw this, but in Dallas, they don't want to talk about the Cowboys because the Cowboys offseason was so bad. I guess we could just ignore it and talk sounds, but no. So right now, it's been a bad football team. One texter says, just to be clear, you're not taking a side between Simmons and Buck, but didn't you say this morning, I stand with Buck? Okay, so I tweeted in all caps this morning, I stand with Buck. That is in reference to Kaharski. So Kaharski went on the morning show today, and apparently, as we were talking about fights that Kaharski starts, and I said there was a fight that was started before I got there, apparently Kaharski got into it with the other morning show because Kaharski said that they weren't defending Buck. Then he went on our morning show and talked about how they should have Buck's back of being Buck's teammate or whatever. And I was saying, I stand with Buck in reference to that. But what I mean is, like, I'm not biased one way or another. Like, I don't have, like, a pro-Buck bone, you know? It's not like a, oh, yeah, that's my buddy, I'm going to defend him. Like, that's not what I'm talking about. As far as who was right or who was wrong in the argument, well, we know who was right because the other guy apologized and said he was wrong. But as far as, like, the Jared, who do you care about more, it's not really, like, a competition for me. If that makes any sense. One texter says, I don't know if I'm going to follow this, but I'm going to try. We live in a want to see it die / cancel society, especially in the video game industry. Okay, let's see where this goes. If a company makes a decision that the community doesn't like, the whole community will go and flood it with negative reviews until the company reverses its decision. It's real and it works. I wish we as fans had the ability to cause an impact like that. You do. It's called this show. That's the point. The talk radio host in today's society, the sports talk radio. I don't know, like, local news talk as far as, like, how much that moves the needle politically or not. I don't operate in that space. But as far as sports talk radio, the sports talk radio host has replaced the newspaper columnist. Now, newspaper columnists still exist, and I think they still do a good job. Like, I think I like reading Gentry in the Tennessean. But the radio host, the impact, has replaced that of the columnist. If you don't think the players, the coaches, and the owners listen to this show, just ask yourself, if you were the quarterback and there was a show that talked about you for 4 hours a day, would you listen to the show to see what they said about you? And the answer is mostly yes. Owners listen to all the shows. Trust me, they listen. They want to know, what are the people saying? They want to know. So when you're acting like, hey, we as fans, we do not have a way to get through to the team, yes, you do. Again, I'm going to say that every time I say something that I think is true, and it has to do remotely with me, like, if I say, yeah, you know, I caused this building to fall down, it's like, oh, you think it's all about you. And it's like, no, I actually think I caused the building to fall down when I, you know, whatever, took out the brick. And so, yeah, but no, it's all about you. So I don't, sometimes don't like saying things, but like, there's definitely a couple instances where I'm like, yeah, I think I probably was the one who probably did that. And honestly, it's part of the reason why I like my job, because I care about the teams. And when it comes to caring about the teams, I want my opinion heard. You don't have to do what I say, but I appreciate it being heard. One texter says, Jared, you need to plan a show in the very near future where you're nothing but positive, and it will blow everybody's mind. They would see how absurd being positive all the time really is. I have a hard time with the being positive all the time because I think it's disingenuous. Like, to me, all we want to do is talk about the football team, whether or not they're going to be good, right? That's all we care about. And when it comes to whether or not there's good, there are all these different little nooks and crannies that, you know, oh, does the team have good leadership? Does the team have good coaching? Does the team have a good quarterback? You know, is the quarterback starting to gel with the receivers? That all adds up to this giant slice. You know, each thing's a little slice, and it's a giant pie that determines whether or not they're good, and we analyze it every day. Not everything is positive all the time. I said today, I mean, I have been very impressed with J.C. Latham. That to me, when I look at J.C. Latham, I see the 7th overall pick in this year's draft. Like, I see, hey, you pick that player 7th. He's got the size. He's got the tush. He's got the legs. He's got the athleticism. He is blocking. Like, that is what you do. You pick that guy 7th. You want a starting left tackle that looks like that, you pick him 7th. That's how you get him on your team. You don't get that at free agency. That's positive, right? I mean, I was really bearish on the J.C. Latham draft choice anyways. I mean, so I'm positive when I feel like the positivity is warranted. But right now, the Titans don't have a good football team, folks. Are there some things that could go their way and it'd be great? Sure. But I can't say they have a good football team when they don't have a right tackle. And I don't need to tell the story again, but it's true. Ask the old man, Titans going to be good. They don't have a right tackle. Well, this team doesn't have a right tackle. 615-737-1025. So PK is reporting something that I didn't see. And I'm not saying it's wrong, but it is something that, if it did happen, might be a little bit of an issue. We'll get to that next, and your phones, 615-737-1025. Let's give something away, but first, Ian, X out the phones. First, I'm going to talk about Twice Daily and White Bison. That's right. I love White Bison. White Bison is your local coffee shop with specialty coffee and so much more. Explore their selection of premium coffee blends, refreshing iced drinks, and food featuring fresh-made premium breakfast, lunch, and snack options. Download their app and join the White Bison Rewards Program where you can place orders on the go anytime, get rewarded, and earn free coffee. Stop by White Bison and brighten your day with a sweet cinnamon beehive latte and iced honey nut macchiato, or the vanilla rooibos tea latte. Find your perfect cup at White Bison, where it's finely crafted for you every single day. White Bison and Twice Daily, that's Twice Daily. All right, be caller 5 right now. Ian, unex the phones at 615-737-1025, and you'll win a pair of tickets to see 30 Seconds to Mars at Ascend Amphitheater this Saturday. Good luck, Stillman & Company, 1025, 106 for the game.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. Like, it's football. I don't mind guys setting a tone with the intensity ramped up. And we just got to understand that we can play to the edge and we can still play within the rules. And fighting is a penalty. It's usually an ejection. It hurts our team. We can't have that. I think they're all aware of that. And that's essentially what the message was in that huddle.
That was Brian Callahan yesterday after Jeffrey Simmons started fights on 2 back-to-back plays. And when it comes to the fighting at training camp, it is not the first time I've seen fighting in training camp. In fact, when you have joint practices, you usually average a fight. I mean, I watched after a joint practice with the Buccaneers was over one day, and Simmons and Leonard Fournette just started, you know, touching each other in the face. and it led to a fight. And I mean, I remember when Tajay Sharp, sometimes get mixed up, Tajay Sharp tried to run out against the Patriots, getting a fight, and Vrabel pushed him. I mean, I've seen all kinds of stuff. So that being said, yesterday I disagreed with Brian Callahan's decision to not throw Jeffrey Simmons out of practice for throwing a punch. That's just my opinion. He might be doing it perfectly. He might think, you know, hey, I'm setting the tone right now. I'm telling him, hey, no more of that. And we get a full day of practice in, and we don't throw our best defensive player out. And we, you know, the message gets across. You might be right. I'm just saying, I believe that if you throw a punch in a game, you're out. You throw a punch in practice, you're out. That's just how I am. But the one thing that I did wonder was, by not throwing Simmons out, was that A, Simmons testing the boundary, but also B, what's that mean for other players when it comes to testing the boundary as well? So today there was a moment at camp where there was a completion in a 7-on-7. Josh Wiley caught a pass, and he was popped again. They're wearing pads, popped by Kenneth Murray, and then Kenneth Murray let the trash talk fly. In fact, you all get mad at me for calling Jeffrey Simmons soft. That's what he kept calling Josh Wiley. He would not let go, just stood right there. I watched the whole thing. I watched DeAndre Hopkins kind of put his body in between Wiley and Murray, and Wiley went back to his side, and Murray went back to his side, and that was it. And to me, that is nothing other than just a little trash talk. I have no problem with it. So then I see that Paul Kaharsky tweeted out, Kenneth Murray and Josh Wiley not liking each other right now. Murray offering loud and harsh review of Wiley's game, which, again, I told you, he said he's soft. Murray offering a loud and harsh review of Wiley's game. Murray swung at the tight end. That comes from PK. So let me just say, I did not see Kenneth Murray take a swing at Josh Wiley. PK had to have seen it in order to have tweeted it, right? If that's the case, and again, I don't know that it is. That's not what I saw. And I was standing right there. If that's the case, that's a problem. And it's not, again, it's not a Kenneth Murray problem, even though Kenneth Murray is allegedly the one who did it. But it is a problem that yesterday somebody took a swing in practice, didn't get kicked out. The coach said, it'll be fine. And then somebody else takes a swing the next day. And again, I don't know if he did it or didn't do it. I'm going to go with right now that he didn't do it. And I'm not going to go, I'm not calling Paul a liar. I'm just saying I didn't see it, and I was standing right there watching it. So I'm going to assume that what I saw, or in this case, what I didn't see, didn't happen. But if Kenneth Murray did throw a punch, that's a problem. 2 days in a row. If you're throwing punches 2 days in a row in practice, that's a sign that the message didn't get through yesterday. And if the message didn't get through yesterday and you're 2 weeks on the job, that's a problem. So I don't know where this goes. Like, is this a negative opinion or a positive opinion? To me, I didn't see the swing that Paul talked about. But again, I don't think Paul's making it up. Okay, TD texted me and said Kenneth Murray did swing at Josh Wiley. It happened. They were separated and moved on. I didn't see the swing. If both Paul and TD say that it happened, then it happened. And that's not good. That's not good that yesterday the coach said, hey, you know, we're not going to condone fighting. We understand this is football, but, you know, we know where the line is, and we're going to. And then you got another guy starting on defense taking a swing. And would Kenneth Murray have taken the swing today if it wasn't condoned yesterday by Jeffrey? I don't know. I don't like that. Again, not the end of the world. Training camp fights happen. It happens all the time. The Steelers got in a big fight today. But I don't like this idea if everybody's going, if we're going to have a punch every day, then it's like, okay. Because again, punches in camp, I don't mind pushing and shoving. It happens all the time. I don't mind the occasional fight. It happens. But throwing a punch in training camp is the one thing these guys are told not to do. And they're told not to do it for two reasons. Number one, you get thrown out of a game if you throw a punch. Number two, Ian, if you throw a punch and you connect on somebody's helmet, what's going to happen?
Oh, that could break your hand for sure.
Yeah, break your hand.
Yeah, not good.
So they're telling you don't do it. So, and now Corey
Curtis, we don't
want to
go Miles Garrett on us and just rip the helmet off.
Corey Curtis said he saw the swing too.
Setting that tone on defense.
I need to get my eyes checked. What's the matter with me? Oh. What's the problem with my eyes? Well, I'd say this, it's a red flag for the coach. You can't come out and say, yeah, you know, it's fine. I don't need to throw guys out for throwing punches. It'll be fine. And then the next guy, somebody else take a swing the next day. I mean, and then if you're Brian Callahan, what do you do? So today, this guy threw a punch, and you didn't, or 2 days, yesterday, you didn't throw that guy out throwing a punch. Today, somebody else throws a punch. Tomorrow, somebody else throws a punch. I mean, it's like I said, this tests the honeymoon period, because we know Mike Vrabel wouldn't have accepted that. Ryan in Nashville texts in and says, Vrabel's teams were disciplined for the most part. What I don't want to see is a Brian Callahan team that's undisciplined. I agree. Craig says they need some good old-fashioned run till you throw up and you're tired to fight like in high school football. Yeah, they don't do that anymore. People don't usually condone that kind of behavior in the heat in today's society. The old day of, oh, it'll be fine, no water breaks. Those days don't exist anymore. And probably rightfully so. A couple people have asked how Tavondre Sweat looks out there. So far, so good. I mean, he's a big guy. He's huffing and puffing there at the end of practices, but that's to be expected. He is getting himself in shape. That's fine. I still don't know if Tavondre Sweat's going to be able to play all three downs. He's definitely playing first and second down, and he's definitely making a difference. Like, you see him out there on the field. But I don't know if he's a three-down player. That is TBD. But so far, so good. And that's all you can ask for. At least at this point. .615-737-1025 is our phone number. Okay. It is time to debate. Jared versus Joe. And boy, do we have a lot to talk about. We will do it next. Stillman and Company, 1025-1063 The Game.